The Greek amphitheatre at Syracuse in Sicily last showed up on Culture File in Ferdia Lennon's debut novel Glorious Exploits, in which it's the inspiration for an imaginary production of a drama by Euripides performed by Athenian captives. This week, that Greek theatre, its seating cut into a hillside looking across the Mediterranean in the 3rd century BCE, is a setting for a non-imaginary production of Euripides' telling of the tragedy of Phaedra. The show is directed by Paul Curran, most famous for creating operas at a where's where of the big international houses, from Covent Garden to La Scala, and indeed Wexford Festival Opera. For Phaedra, Curran is taking a sidestep into drama for a chance to put on a show at a spot in which the likes of Aeschylus and Euripides showcased new work. Culturefile met up with Curran at a sound test in the amphitheatre.
This is our Phaedra, Alessandra Salamida, who's doing a sound test with the actions of the stage, just to see if the wind picks up on the mic, which it always does.
That's open air theatre for you, though.
That's open air theatre for you when I say that.
It's kind of amazing to be working here. I mean, any house you go to, there's a kind of, you know, a legend and whatever went before. But here, because of this sort of ancient theatrical tradition, it must be an extraordinary place to work.
Well, I mean, we're walking in a place that Archimedes walked in. I mean, you know, if you even go back to the 18th century, Lord Byron came here. But Archimedes came here. That blows my mind. And there's 5,000 seats. It's kind of amazing. So, I think it's a challenge. It's not an easy space, but it's fantastic.
This is Gaia Aprea. Salve, come stai cara? Inizio allora.
Perché appena entri in scena passa, però c'è un momento prima, che...
Yeah, I mean, Italian, I'm very lucky. I learned Italian in high school in Scotland. So that was quite extraordinary, really, to learn it. And I knew, I remember at the time, they said, oh no, you got to study chemistry because boys do chemistry and girls do languages. And I was like, well, I'm sure there's a lot of boys in Italy that actually speak Italian. So if that's the story, this girl's doing Italian. And it's given me a career ever since, the languages. So we're sitting, we're on cushions, thank God, but we're on stones that were carved out, it was actually 2,500 years ago that they carved this out of the rock. But here we are, it's an extraordinary acoustic, it's an really incredible space. If anybody that's listening hasn't seen this space, well, you know, while we're talking, look up the internet. It's a really beautiful, special place. As a director, I honestly try not to look at anybody else's shows. A couple of friends have done shows here, other directors, so I looked at theirs because I don't want to be overly influenced. But the one thing I do want to do always is to see what the space is, whether that's the little theatre in Wexford or Bourgosh or wherever. I want to see the space and feel the space. So it was important. I came here a year ago. Gary McCann and I came here. He's the designer, Irishman designer. Came here a year ago and we saw the space. And what we learned was this space needs to be kind of quite open so that you can see the entirety of the event. And a part of the set, shall we say, becomes the actors. So the actors really fill the space, rather than filling it with, you know, it'd be easy to fill it within a massive big construction.
One of the things that people know about you is from your opera, but this isn't actually an opera, so this is a little sidestep for you.
Well, it's not really a sidestep, actually. It's back to my roots. I was a dancer first, many years and many, many kilos ago, and I'm now no longer a dancer, obviously. But actually, I trained at drama school, so I went to drama school in Australia. And I trained as a director of drama, really. So, and then because I spoke languages, I'm a bit of a polyglot, I all of a sudden was getting offered operas everywhere. I never imagined that would be my career, but it has been my career. So it's been fabulous to come back to a play and a really fantastic, delicious text like this one.
You worked with Baz Luhrmann in Sydney Opera. I mean, is that what dragged you into opera?
Oh no, that was not what dragged me into opera. But I did work with Baz. Baz was an extraordinarily fantastic
generous and kind boss to work for. I worked for him for 2 years on A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Australian Opera. No, opera, I got the passion for opera when I was 15 and I saw my first opera, which was Wozzeck by Alban Berg. I thought it was so extraordinary that I ended up going to see all six shows.
We've just seen a little bit from the production here. You obviously have introduced a sort of strong musical element into this, even though it's just a spoken text generally.
It's a spoken text, but a lot of it in the Hellenistic era, the Greek era, would have actually been sung. So what we've done is we've taken certain elements of it, and with two composers, Forrest Swords, who's a very well-known composer kind of in music and raves and all that sort of thing, who did all of the incidental music, and then Hernani, who is Hernani Ferrari, who's a Brazilian composer and works here. He did all the vocal parts with Francesca Del Monaco, who's the vocal coach here. And what you just saw and heard is the funeral. I've put in a funeral march for Fedra. Normally, she never appears on stage. They just report her death off stage. But I've rather boldly asked our leading lady if she would be a body on stage. She's a body on stage for about a good 45, 50 minutes.
You have a bit of a reputation for that, like making the little change in the canon if it's necessary.
Well, all these composers and writers did that themselves, didn't they? They all made little changes. They all developed the art forward. If we don't rethink, if we don't sort of think what else can we add to help explain the story better, then it's going to die, because it's just a museum. It just becomes a museum piece. And I'm not interested in seeing something under glass. I don't really care who did what and when. I care about what this audience tonight is going to see.
You have a busy roster now. For the rest of the summer, the next summer engagement you have sounds like it'll be a lovely one too.
Well, the next one is I now deal with Fedra's sister, Ariadne. And I do Ariadne of Naxos at the Teatro La Fenice in Venice.
What happens to you now? Is there a cast and crew waiting for you in Venice when you leave Syracuse?
I go back home. I live in America. I live in Palm Springs. So I go back home for 2 weeks because I was very ill last year. So I've got doctor's appointments and I've got to go into hospital for checkups and all sorts of things. And then in 2 weeks' time, I get back in a plane and I come back to lovely Venice for a month in the summer.
You have the character that's nourishing rather than exhausting.
It depends on how you look at it. I look at it as a positive thing. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I do not relish getting a car to pick me up tomorrow morning at 4 in the morning. And that's been my life. I was discussing this with a fabulous Irish singer I worked with last year, Sinead Wallace-Campbell. Oh, my God, what a world talent that is. But I met Sinead last year, and we were discussing just this. She's got two kids. So there's a lot of sacrifice goes into creating this, and I know people think, oh, how glamorous, you're going to Sicily, you're going to Venice, you're going to Tokyo, you're going whatever, but let me tell you, when you've got your 600th cab at 4 o'clock in the morning, the glamour is not really appealing.
Director Paul Curran there at the Greek Theatre in Syracuse, Sicily.